goods in common. Is that exciting? Is that wonderful to you? Luke says there was no needy persons among them. Now, Luke is probably bringing this up to show that the kingdom of God, that in the kingdom of God, he's referring to Deuteronomy 15:4, probably. He's trying to show that this is the kingdom of God, because in Deuteronomy 15:4, it says, after they go into the land that God has promised to them, it's a very difficult scripture to read now, knowing what we know of the war, right, as we speak. However, there should be no poor among you, for in the land the Lord your God is giving you to possess as your inheritance, he will richly bless you. So one of the marks of the kingdom of God, apparently according to Deuteronomy, is that there will be no needy among you. Between Easter and Pentecost, the Old Testament readings in the lectionary, which is a human construct, we just do it because it helps us focus. It's not something, it's not a part of God's revealed word. I mean, God's revealed way to live. Instead of the Old Testament readings during Pentecost, they put in Acts, the Acts of the Apostles. And this is to show that everything that happens from the birth of Christ to the death, to the resurrection, to Pentecost, all of that is not something new, but it is a continuation of all the promises that God has given in the Old Testament. So they say Old Testament, New Testament, Schmestament. It's a part of the same story. And so we're reading Acts. This is our Old Testament reading this morning. These are the promises of enough. You will have enough and abundance to God's people and the charge to justice and mercy. And that passage in Deuteronomy is right after it talks about the year of Jubilee. Every 50 years, if somebody had bought your land, you would get it back after 50 years, back to the family that had originally owned it, so that one family wouldn't end up owning everything in Israel, but it would be continually redistributed. Are you human? Do you understand? You're reading this and you have great joy thinking about this. But has it ever happened? There is no proof that they ever did it in Israel. It was to be a year of Jubilee. Every 49, every 50 years, you would receive back your family inheritance. Okay, so your son is a scoundrel and gambles it away. The family gets it back after another generation. So you can start again. You can farm the land. You have a way to feed yourself and your family. But we aren't sure. There is we're not, we're, we don't know for sure that they ever did it. Okay, now we're back in the world that we know. We see the how wonderful it is that there are no needy people. But we think, excuse me, am I missing something? Is that really the way that it really is? The kingdom of God, caring for one another by sharing resources. And it does say in that passage in Deuteronomy that if it was a foreigner, you didn't have to pay the debt back. But if it was an Israelite, you had to return the property of their ancestors. Well, in Christ now, are we all inside the circle so that there are no foreigners to whom you don't have to repay the debt? After Pentecost, immediately after Pentecost, this is in chapter 4, immediately after Pentecost, the believers were hanging out, sharing meals in their home, sort of like hippies or something, just moving along, having a meal, going to somebody else's house. They were sharing, they were being encouraged, they were being strengthened. And now, this passage that we read, how many days, I don't know how long it's progressed, we hear that people are selling property when they see, oh, somebody needs something. They sell their property, they bring the money, and they're not just hanging out together, kumbaya, but they lay the money at the feet of the apostles. So now we've got some kind of an organization. You've got a leader, you've got somebody handling the purse, you've got somebody taking care of the money, not just sort of, oh, hey guys, you know, I sold my property, and then what do you need today? It's being somehow organized. So the story has progressed since immediately after Pentecost. Following this story, if you keep reading in Acts, a generous brother named Barnabas, who comes up again as somebody who believes in people, who's willing to take a risk with others, he sells his property and he gives all the money to the apostles. And I guess he got praised for it, because then another, a married couple said, oh, that people really like that. Well, let me tell you, I sold my property and here's the price, and lay it down at the apostles' feet. But they lied. They kept part of it for themselves. And the scripture is very clear. They didn't have to give all the money, but they lied about it. They could have said, this is half. But the Holy Spirit doesn't like it when you lie to him. And unfortunately, they both pass away under judgment. They are judged by the Spirit for lying, not for what they did with the money, but for lying about it. This moment of sharing, where it says all things in common, there were no needy among them, this is the kingdom of God. This is a moment of sharing, sweet and deep. And I know that this congregation has experienced those moments. You are a real people of God. That sweet moment where all is well in our family or in a congregation, it doesn't last. Something always comes up. But that moment of sweetness is a benchmark. It's a signpost of how people can live together without contentment and without striving. In 1953, the Agrarian Reform Act law redistributed parcels of land in Bolivia from the large landowners. 90% of the land was owned by a few people. They distributed it to indigenous peasants. My family, my husband's family, still has those plots that were passed out to every adult who was from certain communities. This provided access to farming land, and it gave them a means to feed their family. You have the land, you can feed your family. You might not get rich, but you can eat that year if the harvest comes. And yet, of course, there were still hardworking people who were needy. And as the years have rolled by, and I'm just giving this an example because it's so unusual for the land to be redistributed. As generations come and go, the land is bought and sold, inherited and lost, consolidated and scattered. And of course, that land is no longer in the hands of every person who needs a place to farm. How can a nation, a people, a community truly share all things in common? And how can there be no needy people? When a loving disciple broke a jar of expensive fragrance over his head, and the disciple said, "You're wasting stuff that could be given for the poor," Jesus said something extraordinary. He said, "The poor you will always have with you." Wait, isn't this the kingdom of God? There's not supposed to be any needy. "The poor you will always have with you, but you will not always have me. She did this to prepare me for burial." Jesus is addressing the use of resources in the context of trust and relationships. Utopian experiments of equality, I mean, Pennsylvania was one of those, begin with high hopes and purity, but they cannot be sustained in this world in the long run. The history of the Christian community of faith is not clean in regard to greed and to riches. Still, we must read this scripture today and find God's presence with us as we read this. The psalm that is paired with this reading tells of the joy of living together in unity. One image of that harmonious life that we're like, huh, is the fragrant oil running down over the head into the beard. It's like women say, well, that excludes me. But that image of that fragrant, doesn't this sound a lot like the anointing of Jesus? The oil running through the head into the beard of Jesus as a sign of the unity and harmony. Well, what about the poor people? You take care of them day by day. This was a use of the resources to express love. Surely it cannot mean that luxurious gifts, my son needed another Porsche, you know, these luxurious gifts to those closest to us are exempt because they come from love. No. Sharing everything we have may not be about rules, but it is about recognizing the needs of each member of the community. It's about taking those needs seriously and using resources with freedom and wisdom. Life within the kingdom of God is about trusting that God sees each of us and will provide for all of us. There is enough in God's presence. We don't compete with one another to get our share. We don't have to prove that I'm worth just as much as anybody else. We don't need to strive endlessly to upgrade our material possessions. The disciples were certainly surprised when Jesus told them that it was hard for the rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. The riches were a sign of God's endorsement. With those riches, people could give offerings and receive the favor of God. People could endow events that would provide prayer for themselves. The leisure and freedom of riches were believed to give people time and energy how to figure out how to keep the law and how to live righteously. If rich people had a hard time entering the kingdom of God, what chance did people have who didn't have time and money to figure out, I'm just busy making a living. How can I enter the kingdom of God? How could I possibly be righteous? But Jesus didn't let the rich or the poor off the hook. He tells us to look to God trustingly for all that we need and share what we have and use our resources according to what is important. In the communities where I lived for most of my early life, I was the biggest by far, even when I was thin. I was bigger than most of the men, not just the women. I remember on a winter youth retreat, one of my friends borrowed a pair of boots. It had been difficult to find a pair. It wasn't even a fancy pair. It was just something waterproof that fit my enormous feet. And I was afraid that I would have cold, wet feet the rest of the weekend we were up in the mountains if something happened to those boots. With her little tiny feet, she was tripping around in my enormous boots. And I was afraid she would hurt them, you know, make a tear in them or something. She looked at me. She was really my closest friend. She looked at me and she saw my anxiety and my desire that she not take my boots. I was ashamed. I remember realizing I don't really trust God to meet my needs. My needs are different from everyone else here. I can't easily find what I need. And I don't trust God. I saw that in her eyes. This passage from Acts is telling us that the work of Jesus is a continuation of the promises to the people of God in the Hebrew scripture, and that in the kingdom of God, there are no needy people. Let's live that as you do, probably not in a utopian commune, but holding all that God has given us in an open hand without fear. Amen.